Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special edition of Freedom from Ejection, Truth Just Below the Surface of the Neil Haley Show. And I'm excited to welcome to the program Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you, man?
Doing good, Neil. Thanks for asking. Today's program is entitled Social Media, Schools, and the Secret Rise of Transgender Children, the New Social Contagion. In the midst of the isolation that ensued during COVID-19, quarantines, and school lockdowns, some parents have described how a new social contagion crept quietly into homes to infect and transform their children. It was given a name in 2018 study, Rapid Onset Gender Dysphoria. Now parents are sounding the alarm. In September 2020, January Littlejohn of South Tallahassee, Florida, was shocked when her 13-year-old daughter inadvertently revealed a secret. School officials wanted to know which bathroom she preferred to use as a result of her requested name change. More shocking was her discovery of a plan devised during a private meeting held with her daughter and school officials without her knowledge or consent. She was so flippant about it, Littlejohn told the press. And what I've come to understand is these kids claiming transgender identities out of the blue have no idea of the scope or scale of what they're saying, things they are asking for in terms of hormones or surgery. It's like they're asking to get a nose ring or their hair dyed or a piece of clothing they know their parents are going to reject. In many ways, this has become a new source of teenage rebellion, but the long-term consequences are much more severe. The schools have moved past the position of affirming and are now encouraging and celebrating. Littlejohn, a licensed mental health counselor in the state of Florida, said, adding that adopted school policies regarding transgender students reinforces the confusion they may be experiencing and affirms in their adolescent brain that they were born of the wrong gender. Schools are also creating a huge wedge between gender-confused children and their parents. She added, further, by excluding parents, other mental health issues that oftentimes accompany a transgender identity, such as depression and anxiety, may go unchecked and unresolved. According to the Leon County School District Transgender Nonconforming Student Support Plan, filled out during the private meeting, Part A, the checklist, was used to record the child's new non-binary status, a preferred name, and preferred pronouns. The child also indicated that while her parents were aware of her choice to identify as non-binary, and I should tell you, non-binary means of the male-female type orientation, they were not supportive and would not use her preferred name or pronouns at home. Therefore, under the heading of parent guardian involvement on the form, it was made clear that the staff would not notify the parents of anything involved in implementing this plan and would not include gender-specific pronouns when speaking with parents. Under the heading of names, pronouns, and student records, it was clarified that while the child's gender would remain the same, the name given to her by her parents at birth would be replaced by her preferred name in the student information system database. When asked about expectations regarding rooming for overnight trips with the school, the minor child was allowed to decide she would be comfortable rooming with either sex. This opened the door to having Little John's daughter rooming with teenage boys on overnight school trips without her knowledge. The purpose of this document is to create a shared understanding about the ways in which a student's authentic gender will be accounted for and supported at school. Part B of this form states, "We're scrambling to keep up with this," Little John explained. "And when you do an internet search, the bulk of what comes up is to affirm your kid or they will commit suicide. That's the argument. Suicide is being weaponized to bully parents into affirming their children, even though they know it's the wrong choice for their child. What we are seeing is absolutely a social contagion of vulnerable kids, mostly girls," Little John said. "Many of these adolescents are isolated, socially awkward, and having a difficult time fitting in and making friends. Some are gifted, and many are on the autism spectrum. They latch on to a transgender identity, believing all their angst and insecurities will disappear, and they are immediately praised by their peers and teachers. Transgender identities have become glorified by the mainstream media, the entertainment industry, and social media. It's a social contagion like anorexia affecting vulnerable teens, but it's being celebrated and it is spreading like wildfire." In a May 24 letter of response to the Little John's attorney, Leon County School Superintendent Rocky Hanna admitted there was no basis to exclude the parents from the private meeting. He said a revised Q&A specific to the Little John's concern was provided to the administrators, reiterating the directive to promptly contact parents of students who identify as LGBTQ+. After reaching out to Leon County Schools to find out if the parents' Bill of Rights would have any impact on current school policies, Leon School Equity Officer Kathleen Rogers said, "They are working to put together a more detailed policy to be more inclusive of the parents' Bill of Rights," adding that a committee will meet in the next few weeks to tweak policies and begin a process to present them to the school board for adoption. "All I need to do this anonymously for several reasons," a mother from Wayne, Pennsylvania, told the press, "was for the first and most important thing is to protect my daughter. I also worry that if I speak out too much, that activists will target me. I don't believe my boss would fire me, but his superiors might. There are just too many risks involved in speaking out publicly. I wish it were different, but these are the times we live in." The Pennsylvania mother said she belongs to two support groups, explaining how they are all horrified at the way schools, doctors, and counselors are stripping parents of their rights in how to raise their children and actively keeping things from the parents. "Our children still need permission slips for field trips or consent to take a Tylenol at school, but schools will allow children to change their names, pronouns, and bathroom choices at school without even telling the parents. There are hundreds of us," she added. "We're scared, confused, angry. Our numbers are rapidly growing. I feel the need to speak out because I know firsthand how this ideology is tearing our families apart. I feel so blindsided and disillusioned," a mother from Portland, Oregon, told the press. "Also, under the condition of anonymity to protect the identity of her daughter. Her nightmare began just prior to her daughter's 13th birthday, when she requested a non-binary flag and a they them pen from Amazon. Within days, her daughter underwent a complete appearance change, going from wearing lipstick, mascara, skirts, and crop tops to shopping for boys' clothing and all things rainbow. It was a complete 100-degree flip, she said. I requested access to her school account shortly after this all came about, only to find out she had officially changed her pronouns to they or them, and all school staff must comply, she explained. Then I emailed the school to ask their bathroom policy, and the principal sent back the district policy, which is 6 pages in length and goes into full detail about all the definitions and outlines that everything must line up with the child's self-proclaimed gender identity. Name and pronouns are up to the kid. Parents do not have to be notified, let alone consulted. Bathroom, locker room use, and even overnight school trip accommodations are aligned with preferred gender identity. I was dumbfounded, she said. How was it that I had been in the public school system for 8 years and had no idea these were the beliefs that were being taught to my child? While these families live in different states, their stories share clear consistencies. The quarantine definitely escalated the isolation, screen time, and exposure to gender ideology through friends sending her videos, Little John said. I should have never given her internet access, and I definitely should have monitored her closer than I did, said the Pennsylvania mother. I blame YouTube and platform influencers who sell this born in the wrong body garbage to our impressionable, vulnerable kids. The Pennsylvania mother also blames the schools for allowing this and keeping it from the parents. Their job is to teach, not to decide what's best for our children, she said. I began researching feverishly, trying to figure out what happened to my daughter, the Portland mother said. I found the diagnosis of rapid onset gender dysphoria and began reading relentlessly. What became abundantly clear was that my daughter had been indoctrinated somehow. Just prior to her daughter's announcement of her new trans status, the Portland mother explained that her husband, who monitors her daughter's devices, discovered she had been spending over 4 hours a day on TikTok. An internet history search revealed their daughter had also been researching definitions for all the different genders. I then find out that they are actually teaching this rhetoric at her public schools. My biggest fear is that I won't be able to reach my daughter before she turns 18, the Pennsylvania mother said. I'm terrified she will start testosterone and have a double mastectomy. I'm terrified that if she does start testosterone, I will never hear her beautiful sing-song voice again or see her beautiful face without facial hair. I'm terrified she'll do these things and still not find the relief she thinks it will bring, because it won't. I'm terrified she will cut me out of her life because I won't support this choice. With these gender-confused kids, things quickly escalate from the non-binary to, I think I'm a boy. I want a binder. I hate my breasts. I want top surgery. And when they conveniently relabeled from being a double mastectomy because it sounds better, Little John said. I was horrified and panicked, operating from a place of sheer terror that my 13-year-old child, who was perfectly content being a girl a month ago, has been brainwashed and now is rejecting her beautiful, healthy body. I do absolutely fear for our children and the terrible emotional and mental damage that is being inflicted upon them, and eventually irreversible physical damage they will endure through cross-sex hormones and double mastectomies if allowed to continue to believe the lies, the Portland mother said. This is an assault on parenthood, and our poor children are the victims. Presenting youth with this confusing information while they are still developing is criminal. Every one of us should be outraged. And who is to blame? The schools are playing a huge role in this, Little John said. They are not innocent. This is not a neutral position they are taking. And what these children need is a neural environment to work through these issues, especially the underlying issues. According to Little John's, many of the children being caught up in this trans fad are truly in emotional pain and suffering from previous trauma, whether it's sexual or physical. Many also suffer from depression, anxiety disorders, eating disorders, and a whole slew of other mental health issues that get swept under the carpet in the name of gender identity. Many of these kids are in desperate need of mental health counseling, not hormones. I've read so many stories in our groups from suicide attempts to complete estrangement from their parents. It's devastating, and much of society points the blame at parents who aren't affirming. We're called transphobic bigots and told it's a good thing for our children that got away from us at all sometimes, because we don't want our daughters having voluntary double mastectomies or our sons having bottom surgery or not wanting them to be lifetime medical patients and sterile before they're even out of college. There are so many people I hold responsible for this, she added. The list seems growing daily. Myself, of course, I blame the doctors who took an oath to do no harm, who tell girls like my daughter that binders are safe, puberty blockers are reversible, and then change their preferred name and pronouns in their charts. I blame Big Pharma for pushing this and lobbying for it so they can stuff their pipeline with lifetime patients. I blame the politicians who are trying to pass bills and laws under the guise of equality by giving away women's sex-based rights. I blame society for turning their backs on parents who have nothing but their children's best interest at heart and vilifying them for daring to question the current narrative. I truly believe without the Florida Parents' Bill of Rights being signed by Governor Ron DeSantis, we would not be making the progress we are making with the school district, Little John stated. I think that gave us a huge ally in our corner. The district knows they can't get away with doing this to parents anymore. We were asking for the same changes to their policy back in January and not getting very far. Governor DeSantis's press secretary, Christina Pushaw, told the news in a statement while noting that no other outlets had inquired about this important issue, that on June 29, 2021, Governor DeSantis signed into law HB 241, the Parents' Bill of Rights, which prevents the state, its subdivisions, or any governmental institution from infringing on the fundamental rights of a parent to direct the upbringing, education, health care, or mental health of a minor child without demonstrating that such action is reasonable and necessary to achieve a compelling state interest, and that such action is narrowly tailored and is not otherwise served by less restrictive means. If any school official attempts to indoctrinate a child to become transgender, which would imply medical and psychological interventions, that is clearly an infringement of parents' rights. Such instances would not be reasonable or necessary to achieve a compelling state interest. Complete the opposite, in fact. It is in the state's interest to have strong families and empower parents to raise their own children in accordance with their own values. For other parents with gender-confused children, there is hope, Little John said. Our daughter is doing great. She is happy and healthy, and we have worked very hard to rebuild our relationship with her and restore her love for herself. Gender ideology is not a cure for adolescent anxiety and social isolation due to COVID. Her message to other children who may also be lost in struggling: the cure is knowing your parents love you unconditionally, and you know and accept yourself as you are. That's how you make it through adolescence. The source for this podcast primarily came from Patricia Tolson, who is an award-winning political columnist and investigative reporter who has worked with news outlets such as Yahoo, U.S. News, and the Tampa Free Press. Her focus is covering political events and developments throughout the southeastern United States, which may have an impact on the nation as a whole. And that's what I wanted to tell you from truth just below the surface of the terrible thing that is happening in our schools with respect to the rise of transgender children. All right. Thanks, Neil. The program is www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. Libsyn being spelled L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N, no caps, no spaces. Tell your friends, neighbors about this problem with transgender children and spread the message.
All right, that was Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface of the Neil Haley Show. Take care, guys.